From Fremont to San Francisco, from Oakland and Berkeley to Lake and Napa counties, and streaming worldwide, live from the heart of wine country, it's The Drive with Steve Jackson on 1350 AM KSRO.
And FM 103.5, of course. Yeah, I'm really excited about our next guest. I've been a huge fan since he began a long time ago on Saturday Night Live. Actor, comedian, and master impressionist. In fact, to this day, nobody on the planet does a better Bill Clinton or Al Gore, both he did on SNL. He is the great Daryl Hammond. Daryl, it's a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's cool. You're going to be at Cobb's, Fabulous Cobb's, tomorrow and Saturday, right?
That's right, Fabulous Cobb's, Friday and Saturday night.
Cool.
Two shows each night.
Yeah, I got to get over there. Have you been doing stand-up regularly, or did you take a break, or what?
I've always done, you know, at least 4 or 5 clubs a year at a minimum. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to do the best clubs in the country. And
yeah,
Cobb certainly qualifies as a big league club and a great experience.
It really is a great venue. Been around forever. So how did you wind up on SNL, and what were you doing before that? How did you get on that program? Because you really made your mark. You were on for many years.
I was living in Hell's Kitchen, trying to get good as a stand-up, trying to get good as someone who did voices and talked like other people. And I actually auditioned twice for SNL. I was turned down, and this was the third time. I was actually performing at Caroline's when a producer from the show saw me.
Cool.
And the timing was really right. I mean, before, I could never really get on SNL because Phil Hartman was sort of having his, it was the Phil Hartman era.
Yeah.
And so when he retired and went away to do news radio, I believe, so that slot was open of the guy who did lots of people, lots and lots of people. That slot opened up, and they hired me finally.
Well, you really are a master impressionist. I mean, Frank Caliendo, you're even better to me than he is. And that Bill Clinton and Al Gore were just brilliant, man. I'll never forget Al Gore in the lockbox.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've been living in L.A. for a little while, and a friend of mine ended up doing some work for Al Gore last week. And Gore said, told him to tell me hello, and I was very flattered by that and really kind of touched.
Yeah, that
is been
cool.
A little while, but, you know, that was back in an era when the New York Times was saying that Al Gore was doing me doing him. So, I don't know how personal these guys take it, but it was really nice to hear from him last week.
That is cool. And it was at some point, it was like when you'd see Al Gore after watching your impression, it was like, yeah, Al's doing Daryl Hammond doing him. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've said that about Clinton. They've said that, when I was playing Trump, they said that about Trump, Clinton, and Gore. And it's really flattering to hear. I mean, if you really feel like, hey, I wanted to be good at something, I worked really hard to get good at something, and now I must be pretty good at something because people are telling me that world leaders are doing me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The Trump thing, that was way, of course, before he became president, but when he was just a New York a-hole. But you did do a great Trump. We are talking with the great Daryl Hammond, who will be performing at Cobb's tomorrow and Saturday night. Can't wait to see that. As far as SNL today, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, obviously, everyone, you got to love Alec Baldwin as Trump.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, they're always doing something right or something new or something interesting, and that's certainly the case right now. I haven't watched it as much. I haven't ever been there, because I became announcer, a staff announcer over there.
Right.
So I record all the work I do for them. I record, but you know, obviously what I've seen is innovative and really good.
And, of course, you, as you just referred to, you replaced the great Don Pardo a few years back.
Right.
But, and so you knew this guy. I mean, was he actually in the studio, or did he just do
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was there every week for decades, it seems like.
Yeah.
And his health was in question probably the last 5 years or so that he did it. So he was living in Arizona, and he was recording from Arizona.
Okay.
So, you know, my deal with him is sometimes I record from New Orleans, sometimes I record from Los Angeles, or really wherever I'm happy to be, but I'm usually in one of those two towns.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea was for us to never be able to replace him, like, look, we're not even going to try to replace him. We're going to put a non-announcer on here, and he's going to invent a voice, you know. And it's sort of, you know, to be sort of an homage,
yeah,
to Don Pardo.
He was amazing.
You know, that's been a
hard to replace, but it works.
Not replaceable at all. I mean, I just kind of went on there and went, look, I'm not an announcer. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, I'm going to make something up and. And that's how we're going to replace Don Pardo, by saying that he's not replaceable. So we're going to do our best.
My producer Mike stepped out of the studio for a moment. I had to call him back in because I want him to hear this. I don't know if he knows this, but you went to high school and played on the baseball team, and one of your teammates was Giants manager Bruce Bochy.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Not only in high school, but in Babe Ruth League and American Legion Ball as well, and
wow.
Also junior college. Yeah, I think that I played Little League, but once I got out of Little League, from the age of 13 until I stopped playing baseball, every game I played with Bruce Bochy.
Wow, are you still in touch with him?
You know what? Occasionally, you know, it's a good feeling thing, but when you know. You're not in each other's lives anymore. You don't talk as much anymore.
Sure.
It's been a couple of years since we actually connected with each other, communicated with each other. I did an interview with Bob Costas about something called the Boch, which was just a dance that Bruce would do when the thing you don't know about Bruce Boch, he's a really funny guy, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Didn't speak a lot, but when he spoke, he was listened to because he would say these profound things about what was going on in the game. And we'd be on the bench going, "How the hell does a 13-year-old understand that the dynamics of first at 13 years old?"
Well, obviously, you know? He was fated to be a big league manager and do well, and he certainly has.
Yeah. Hall of Fame and still going.
Yep. He's loved around here, obviously, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So your stand-up at Cobb's tomorrow night, Saturday night, two shows each night.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming, uh-huh. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that you do a lot of impersonations because you're so great.
Yeah. I mean, I've met all these people, so it's easy just to tell stories about meeting them. And it's easy to work at the SNL impressions into a stand-up because I have stories about meeting them.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Which makes sense. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to check it out. It's Cobb's tomorrow night and Saturday night, two shows each night. The great Daryl Hammond. It's a pleasure, dude. I'm a huge fan. Hopefully we can talk again.
I hope so.
All right, Daryl. Take care, man.
Thanks so much.
All right. Again, that's tomorrow night. And Saturday night, two shows each night at Cobb's. Love Daryl Hammond. That was great. We talked about him doing Al Gore and the infamous lockbox scene with Will Ferrell as George W. Bush. It was SNL total classic. Mike's got a clip.
With that out of the way, let's begin the debate. Mr. Vice President, during this campaign, you have frequently called the Bush tax plan a risky scheme. Why?
Well, Jim, Governor Bush and I have two very different plans to offer tax relief to American families. In his plan, the wealthiest 1% of Americans would receive nearly 50% of the benefits. My plan, Jim, is different. Rather than squander the surplus on a risky tax cut for the wealthy, I would put it in what I call a lockbox.
Governor Bush, your response.
I don't know what that was all about. But I will tell you this. Don't mess with Texas.
I didn't mess with Texas.
Governor Bush, I listened very carefully to the Vice President's remarks, and I honestly do not believe he messed with Texas. Now, Governor Bush.
Jim, could I just add that in my plan, the lockbox would be used only for Social Security and Medicare. It would have two different locks.
Governor Bush.
Now, one of the keys to the lockbox would be kept by the president. The other key would be sealed in a small magnetic container and placed under the bumper of the Senate Majority Leader's car.
Governor Bush, the next question is for you.
Yeah. The amazing Daryl Hammond as Al Gore and the equally amazing Will Ferrell as George W. Bush.